welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 442. I am your host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and this is the show where we talk about apps. Android apps, sometimes Windows apps, hardware, all sorts of good stuff. And the man you're here to see who brings you all of those great things is, of course, the door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing pretty good. The move is still good. I'm guessing a few more things got
We're unpacked. Getting there a little at a time. Mostly right now, it's the kids' stuff. And the garage is still full of boxes, but they all have kids' names on them for the most part.
Gotcha. But of course, I'm sure all the things that the kids deem important is unboxed. Right,
the things they care about. And yeah, the rest of it's just their junk. I have given an ultimatum. I said at the 1st of September, I will park my truck in the garage. And if your boxes are still in
one
the garage,
way or another,
I will park on top of them. If that's what it has to be, so be it.
Exactly. Hey, sarah, sarah. Yeah, I actually went to the dump a couple times in the last week. I took off work tomorrow, partially because I can. I'm probably going to try to make another trip to the dump again tomorrow, where we might actually be able to, surprisingly enough, be able to use our garage as a garage here soon, which, you know, mind blown.
That's one of my sticking points. Garages are for cars and cars are for garages. If you have a garage and your cars are parked outside, you have too much stuff, plain and simple.
Well, yes, but I'll say also, driveways are meant for parking and parkways like are meant that. For driving. Something like that. The real quick question I got for you up front, Mark, is did you get the Voxer message that I forwarded to you from Ellis Owens talking about his personal hands-on experience at least about a year ago with his Android
Shield TV? I did
indeed.
And I'm not scared away. Okay. The big takeaway from there from Ellis was that if you plug external media into an NVIDIA Shield, it will want to format said external device. And he plugged in a multi-terabyte Drobo, not knowing that was going to happen. Oh, the horror. That would make me super angry, too. Thanks to his, what's the word I'm looking for? thanks to his suffering, I can avoid that. But I've actually cooled a little bit on that device for other reasons. Mainly not the device itself, but the limitations in Android TV. As more and more things, your typical Android TV, just because Android TV can't be a Chromecast target, which is the dumbest thing in the world. Why would you make something called Android TV and not make it so that you could cast to it? So the more I look into that, the more I'm not so hot on that device after all.
Well, the stupid question, and this is the stupid question, does it have a HDMI yes. input? Well, technically, I'm just going to say
an input.
You could.
I don't know if it has an input. It has an output. Yeah.
Okay, because I'm going to guess it doesn't have an input. Because if it does, technically speaking, you could put a Chromecast into that, which would be the most self-defeating and foolish thing you could do, but right. you would end up working. When Ellis said the hard drive thing, it honestly clicked as being, well, that makes perfect sense. Android always wants to be the device that does the formatting of whatever it's accessing, just like cameras back in the day. They all wanted to format their own cards, so it makes perfect sense. Everything else he said wasn't doom and gloom. It was, this was uncomfortable, that was uncomfortable, this was uncomfortable, that was uncomfortable. But none of it to me was like showstoppers, but it right. wasn't.
And all of the things that he complained about were Android TV issues, not the hardware itself, but the half-baked, mostly abandoned platform that Google created and then just left the world with. I've come to believe that really, and I've always thought this, but the Roku is the streaming device of choice, and you supplement that with a Chromecast and a couple of things like that. The one thing that I'm missing is I bought a TiVo OTA over the air so that I could suck down digital television from my local stations and stream those out. And Roku doesn't have a TiVo app, and Android TV, you can sideload that TV app. And so that's really, in my case, it's the one missing link. Of course, the reason TiVo doesn't make an app is they want you to buy their TiVo Mini at $100 a pop, 150 actually, they've gone up. So I get that. But yeah, this whole cord cutter thing, it's been an interesting experience. What I'm looking for right now is a projector for down in the man cave. And you know, you can buy the cheap ones from China, but I don't know that I trust $150, 3,000 quote unquote lumens projector. Somehow I doubt that'll actually be a 3,000 lumens projector.
Well, if it is, 3 seconds later, it's down to 300 and it stays like that.
That's kind of where I am right now as I try to build my man cave home theater system.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think of this as almost a visitor from the future about medicine. Personalized medicine, I do think, is going to be a reality where when you go to a doctor, you're literally going to get personalized everything. When you get a pill, it's not going to be out of a jar, pushed down. It's literally going to be 3D printed to be the exact amount you need, nothing more, nothing less of this kind of material. With home theater TV, there is no magic sword to take them all down. Right now, you always have to have, well, this to do this and that to do that, and then this to do the final last thing. It always seems like that mystical, magical dream device, unicorn set-top box, just still doesn't exist. And I don't know if it ever will.
It's you know, as I've said many times before, it's not a hardware limitation. It's not a software limitation. It's a licensing limitation. And that's what's always going to be the thing. As long as everybody is tight-fistedly controlling their little channel, then you're right. It's just never going to be there.
Yeah. I am playing with a new piece of hardware, new to me, piece of hardware. John Dubinsky sent me actually two Asus Zenfone 2s. The lower end one, I believe, has 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of internal storage. This one that I'm playing with has 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of internal storage. And the one thing I got to always remind people of, this is running an Intel processor. So that is extremely different than every other phone that we see, at least, especially here in the States. I got to say a couple things up front. International phones to me seem more desirable for a couple reasons. One, comes with built-in tethering. No ifs, ands, buts. It just does. No hacks, no cracks, no roots, no nothing is needed. But the other thing that I forgot is in this Asus OS is a thing called Auto Start, which basically will let you go through all of your installed applications and enable or disable them from starting at boot. Basically giving you a little bit more power and control over your device. I've been stressing it very hard for a day so far. And I gotta say, it is running like butter.
So it's Android on Atom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not officially a supported platform. It's, you know, Asus has done the work there, right?
Yeah, they have to do basically all the work customizing everything to run on x86. There is more than a couple, I don't want to say unofficial, but not officially supported forks of Android that are x86 based, and you get very mixed results. Asus is definitely putting the money into this, and they're doing it very solidly. If you just go through the settings menu, you get a lot more options and you get a lot more choices than I think you get on the average device, which I think is a very good thing. I'm hoping the battery life lasts, because that's the only thing I can see that's really a killer. I will say, I despise the fact that the power button's on the top of the phone, because my hand is never there to turn it on. Double tap. Didn't turn the phone on before. Okay, yeah.
It works.
Oh, if I do. Okay, double tap will turn the screen on. Thank you. But the other stupid thing is volume buttons on the back. I still think that's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life.
Well, when you're holding a phone to your ear to make a phone call, that's where your finger naturally goes. So I guess I can see the ergonomics of that, but that's pretty much the only time that would be convenient.
Well, yeah, and the only time it's extremely inconvenient is when you're in a car and you have it in a mount. Now, hypothetically, you can use your radio knob. I know that. But if your Bluetooth isn't turned all the way up and you turn your radio up so it's loud enough, and then your Bluetooth disconnects and the radio comes on, your children will scream at the top of their lungs, ah, my ears, because it's so loud. Hypothetically, of course.
So I've had a problem. Maybe you can tell me if you've had this experience. Since you mentioned Bluetooth, on my Moto X Pure, and I don't remember having this problem with the Nexus, so maybe it's the phone, maybe it's the Android OS. It has great difficulty switching between Bluetooth devices. So I get out of my car, and it's on that one. I switch over to my headphones, and now it's not doing anything. And the only way to get it to respond is to turn Bluetooth off, wait 10 seconds, and turn Bluetooth back on. It's not connected to either device, or it shows that it's connected, actually. It'll show it's connected, but nothing plays. And then when I move from one set of headphones to another, I get the same thing. And it's an everyday occurrence. It didn't used to be. Something changed, and it's an everyday occurrence, and it's super annoying. I just wondered if other people have had that same experience.
Well, what I will say, and I will use a word, bigger word, so I'll sound more like I'm on Geek Rant. It is a systemic problem in Android of Android allowing applications to lock IO. What I mean by that is we've all seen it. We have Wi-Fi on, we have Wi-Fi connected, and it's connecting to a weaker access point.
Right.
And it won't switch, and it won't switch, and it won't switch unless you kill Wi-Fi and bring it back up. Well, that's the nuclear option. Okay. Same thing with Bluetooth. It won't disconnect. The reason it won't disconnect, I believe, and the same reason why the Wi-Fi will not disconnect, I've done testing and it works every time, is there's some application locking that audio. So, for instance, if you're using your Podcatcher or your podcast player and you want to switch Bluetooth devices, I'm willing to bet next time if you actually end task your podcast player, wait 3 seconds, your Bluetooth will then connect to the right device and then start your podcast player back up and it will work. I don't think the problem is Bluetooth itself. I think the problem is Android allowing the application to not let go of audio.
That's the dumbest thing in the world. Why would I want to end task to switch? Yeah, okay, I get it.
Well, and I'll say, because I've tested it on many devices with Wi-Fi. I'm connected to the wrong thing. I just was watching a YouTube video. If I end task that YouTube video, a second later, I see the Wi-Fi change. I load YouTube back up, and it's now connected to the
right network. Makes sense.
I'm not going to say it makes sense. Well, I didn't want to say that. It doesn't make sense. Why would Android allow an application that's such high priority?
Well, I say it makes sense, it fits the symptoms. It's definitely not good design.
Which might just be, cognitive bias. I don't know if it's actually true or not.
Oh, by the way, Android, I totally forgot to mention Eric's not here. And I'm sure he has a very good reason. And when he comes back, he'll have a doctor's note signed. But he's not here this week. So we're not doing the cardboard giveaway because it's his cardboard that we're giving away. So those of you who've who've applied, and the way you apply is you send an email to aaa@podnuts.com that says has the word cardboard in the subject. Those of you who have applied, you're going to have to wait another week. Those of you who haven't yet, that gives you another chance to get in the drawing. So we'll... all those people who go there will put your name in a hat or something for all the emails that we get, and you'll get Eric's free to you Google Cardboard. So we miss you, Eric.
Thanks, sir. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Come back soon.
Yeah. I'm sure he has to do something really important, like, I don't know, go overseas and talk to Turkey.
These peace talks. You know,
calm some things down, maybe.
This week on my Geek Rant show, Chris wasn't there. And I sent him the Google Hangouts invite like I always do. And he sent me an email and said, didn't you get my email? I said, well, I got this one just now. And like, I don't know, a week earlier, he had said, I'm not going to be able to be there. And for some reason, it was in my spam folder. I don't ever check my spam folder. Who checks spam folders? Google Gmail's spam is filtering is so good, or at least I think it's so good. Maybe I'm missing all sorts of stuff. But yeah, there it was, hanging out there in the spam folder saying, sorry, guys, can't make it this week.
Well, I check my spam folder every day only because I'm terrified of somebody telling me it's in a spam folder. And then I go look and it says, you know, 600 pieces of mail. I'm not looking through 600 pieces of mail. So I every day go in and I look through maybe 30 at the most, and it's really quick. Boom, 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 empty folder.
I have 3,000 messages in my spam folder. No, I just right day? Now. I just let them go. I don't know how many I get a day, but let's see. I've been scrolling since I started talking, and I'm down to August 8th. So I get a lot of them.
Oh.
And like the top six of them are for breast augmentation. Anybody who's ever seen me in real life, my breasts are big enough. I don't need more.
Well, augmentation doesn't necessarily mean increase.
Isn't that exactly what it means?
No. My wife, her doctor suggested breast augmentation, and it was not an increase.
Isn't that breast reduction in that case?
They said it was, the doctor said augmentation.
I just Googled it. Augmentation, the action or process of making or becoming greater in size or amount.
Oh, well, I guess the doctor, maybe she needs a new doctor. And any doctor who would suggest such a thing.
Anybody who's saying you should make a woman's breasts smaller, that person is just got problems.
Well, I know, but I'll say my wife does have constant back problems. But in her words, and I quote, I will never lose these things.
Maybe she realizes how much power that gives her. I mean, that is what rules the world. Okay, let's get off of this track and let's get onto the track of some Android apps. So, Dort, start us off with your best app.
Well, the first app's going to be a regurgitation, one from the attic, if you will. And it's because this app, multiple times in the last week, has made me like the family hero, if you will. I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't watch a lot of Netflix. I don't watch a lot of series. I don't watch a lot of movies at all. But once in a while, and this week in particular, I've had my wife turn to me and say, after she watched one of the John Oliver episodes, she said, I want to watch Spotlight. Do you know where I can watch Spotlight? I said, what the hell is Spotlight? She said, it's a movie. I said, oh, okay. So I loaded Just Watch Movie, TVs, and Shows, which is an app that me and Eric got from Chuck? Well, it was Chuck when we went to Northwest Linux Fest. And man, I'm pretty sure it's Chuck, but I just blanked literally hard. Very simple app. You open the app, you click the search icon, you type in whatever movie, TV, or anything you want to search for, and it will tell you where it's available. Is it for free for streaming? Is it available for digital rental? Is it available for digital purchase? Standard def, high def, whatever. Also, you can just search by given service provider. So if you only want to search Amazon Video for horror, for instance, it will also do that. What I like about it is I can make my wish list. And then when something becomes freely available on Netflix or on Amazon Video, I get a little ping. So like, of course, on my wish list, it's very short. History of the World Part 1, Mel Brooks. Spaceballs, Mel Brooks. Jet Li, I believe, The One.
I like that one.
Which I think is a great movie. Roddy Piper, They
Best
Live.
Best fight scene ever.
By far the most realistic fight scene ever caught for entertainment purposes.
Yeah. It stands alone among all the others. Yes.
Right. Just put the glasses on. Yeah. This is just good stuff. And I got a couple more in there, but really only a couple. So maybe once every couple weeks I'll get a ping telling me that something's available. Simple app, no ads, no purchasing option, just search for content and you can ping it if you want and put a pin in it, if you will, and have it come back later. And I do believe there's a web interface that supposedly is better, but I'm always on my phone, so that's what I check.
What's the name of this app again? I missed it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is called Just Watch Movies and TV Shows. We brought it maybe 10 episodes ago or so. Because the last one we had, Can I Stream It, basically was starting giving real bad information. It would tell us something wasn't available on Netflix and it was, or vice versa, and it got really annoying. So we were told to check this one out, and so far it's working like perfect.
Awesome. You want me to do an email? We've only got a couple, so we can either save them up or go right now. Bill.
Which was the horrible answer. What the hell is that supposed to mean? Go for it. I didn't answer you at all. Yes, sure, Mark, please.
All right,
please,
Billy sends us an email and says, hi, guys, I heard you discussing cord-cutting solutions on a recent episode of Android App Addicts, and I'm going to stop right there. I have sort of turned this show into my own personal cord cutting show. I apologize for that, but Android does play a big part in that. So anyway, heard you guys discussing cord cutting solutions on a recent episode of Android App Addicts, and I'd like to share a device that I've been using with great success. It's the Analogix SlimPort Nano Console, and it's at nanoconsole.com. This device allows you to use your phone just like an Android TV box. I use an LG G4 as my portable device during the day and plug it into the Nano Console whenever I want to watch TV. The Nano Console will also charge your phone whenever it's plugged into it. I also use my phone's portable hotspot as my home internet provider, so I've been able to 100%, quote, cut the cord. This setup has reduced my total phone, internet, TV, Netflix to just $82 per month, savings of over $100 per month. Thanks for a great show, Bill. And you replied to him and asked if it required some special hardware, and he says that it requires the SlimPort, and there's a list of supported devices at us.slimportconnect.com.
SlimPort and MHL are both two features, functions, only available when you have supported hardware in your device. So not every device is going to support this. But this is a very little handy-dandy device you can basically plug your phone into and then plug that into your big screen television set to where you can get full screen experiences. This would work near perfect in conjunction with the Andrinos OS, I believe it was, or something. That would change your desktop into more of a full desktop-like.
And
Andromedus. So I ain't gonna lie. I looked, my OnePlus One, because I can't remember, has no MHL support, has no SlimPort support at all. But I just wanted to be sure. So I found out that this Zenfone 2 looks like it does support SlimPort. So I'm going to look at this again here in like a week or two. And I literally might end up buying one of these things because I do believe a moderate phone used, even a year or two old phone, can give you probably better performance than what some of these Android set-top boxes on Amazon can give you. So
according to this website, slimportconnect.com, your $50 Amazon Fire tablet does have SlimPort support. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
And the Nexus 5.
Very cool.
So I've got one of those.
Yeah, so this is definitely interesting. What you're going to have to do then is turn on Bluetooth on the phone and figure out what kind of input device you're going to have for the phone. You can try to remote into the other OS, but I don't think that would be a very clean way. I think a Bluetooth keyboard or something would be a better experience.
Hmm. Yeah, because it's really designed to use the phone as your... I guess it's like a screen extender, really, is what it is. Whatever's on the phone is what you see. So it's really just plugging your phone into a larger display.
Yeah, and I do believe through that port there is at least also a little bit of up conversion possibly in resolution to make sure that it's nice and clean.
It sounds like an option. I'm not sure. I mean, it's going to be a better solution than like Chromecasting a full screen because it's hardware instead of software and it's direct connect instead of wireless. So I think it's a niche solution, but it is a cool solution.
Absolutely. So I definitely want to thank him for that email. That was definitely good information. Unfortunately, the kind of information that might make me spend money, though.
All right. So that's it from Bill. So let's go ahead and do another couple of apps before we shoot our last email off.
Okay, cool. This app I was supposed to bring weeks ago, and I kind of forgot. So I'm going to bring it now. This is by Kanush, whatever his name is. The guy who didn't know that there was a application you could put on your Android device that would let you directly communicate with people who left you reviews. He posted a thing the other day saying, I didn't even know this existed. So I told him I'd stop saying everything nice about him, but I can't help it. Clockwork Mod. Clockwork Mod is one of the hardcore engineers that's been around Android for years. This guy has pushed the envelope on everything from custom bootloader tools to custom ROMing tools to backup and recovery tools. He knows the ins and outs of these OSs. And honestly, I feel like a lot of that, what he's done in the past, has educated him towards this app. And this app is called Ink Wire Screen Share. This is the holy grail of what I've wanted on Android for years. All I got to do is put this on my son's phone and on my phone. My son just says, "Dad, I can't figure out how to do something." I just tell him, open up his Inquire on his phone, click share, and then send me the link. And what it is, it's a 12-digit code. I enter in my app, or if he sends me the link, I just click it. And then I can remote full screen from my phone into his phone.
So it's TeamViewer for phones.
It is a very sleek TeamViewer for phones. Now, it's very new, so don't be shocked if it either won't connect to another device or another device won't connect to you, but the app should load, and I can tell you it's gotten a lot better even in the last week, because 3 weeks ago, it would only work on two of my devices in the house. Last week, like three more devices started working, and then this week, almost all the devices in my house, I can use this app. And there actually is a built-in voice chat, too, which my son thought was amazing. I believe is the word that he said. Even though it's a phone that does voice chatting, he thought me doing an app, looking at his screen, and then enabling voice chat was the most brilliant thing he's ever seen.
My 8-year-old recently discovered that she can do video calls with Google Hangouts, and so she's been prank calling, but just prank calling me and Mommy. Calling and asking things like, "Is your house on fire?" Which I don't even know how that's supposed to be a prank call, but anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Well, I mean, it's a good thing that we don't understand kid humor as far as I'm concerned. You know, I mean, I just roll with it. When my kid says something and laughs hysterically, I just go, "Ha ha ha, that was a good one. Get ready for bed."
All right, let's do one more app before I do an email.
Okay, let me do a little click. Oh, this is crazy, Mark. Okay, let me take the link, put it in the chitty chat for you, come over here, and then I have to come over here and change what I'm looking at. This app to me is just black magic voodoo. This is the kind of thing I didn't even think could be possible, but I got this. This is, I think, our last email, possibly. It's called Helmet Film Scanner, okay? You take a picture of a negative of film. You get it as full screen as you can. You get it as sharp as you possibly can, aka if you have your phone on a mount, solidly not moving, and you have the negative on something flat, not moving, you take a pristine picture then, and then it can basically take the image, reverse the negative, I guess make it a positive, and gain give you what the actual picture would look like. So it gives you your own way to digitize film negatives on your own Android device.
Well, that's cool, except you just sort of stole the email I was about to read. So let me just go ahead and read that now.
I'm sorry.
While we're talking about it, it's from Ken, Trevor. Who says, "I would love a chance to win the cardboard." So he's entered in the cardboard. And then he says, "I also have an app suggestion. I came home a few weeks ago and found my wife with a box of old family photos. As she holds a 35mm negative up to the light, I think there must be an app to that. Well, I found Helmet Film Scanner from CodeUnited.dk. I was amazed at how well it worked. I held the negative a few inches away from a blank sheet of white paper and took a picture of the negative. The app then let me crop the image before processing. Wow, it works so well. We spent the next few hours converting these pics that I had never seen. I'm getting an LG G5 soon and had very good luck with my G3. So what's your go-to must-have apps on a new phone?" So he brought that app to our attention, and that is pretty super cool to be able to do that. But also, it makes perfect sense because there's all kinds of negative filters for films. Why not just reverse that process? Somebody had to think of it.
Right. And there is some extra options after you take the picture where you can tweak the hue, you can tweak the intensity, you can tweak the brightness, you can tweak the contrast. So even if it's an old imperfect negative, you can help make it better. Now, this comes with the disclaimer. If you get this app, that doesn't mean you're going to be able to do professional equivalent conversions of old stuff into digital formats. It can mean you don't have to send it out and pay for it to get done, and you should get something pretty acceptable is my thing I'll say. Good enough. And if he wants to know good to go to must install apps, do you want to go through a couple of yours, Mark?
Sure. Let me. Well, first off, I gotta say my first must install app is Castback, which we haven't talked about in a while. It's the Android app for podcasts that lets you communicate, leave comments in line in real time as you go. So Castback, Audible. By the way, if you like podcasts, you're probably going to like Audible audiobooks. I'm listening to a book right now. It's called The Things They Carried. It's about Vietnam soldiers, and it's narrated by Bryan Cranston of Breaking Bad fame. And the combination of the author's words and his reading is just hypnotic. It's so amazing. So anyway, Google Keep is something that is always right there on my front page. I'm looking now, of course, Netflix, Pandora, Radar Now. If it's a simple app that tells you what the radar is looking at right now. And my file explorer of choice is Solid Explorer. So those are some of the ones that I always jump to. The fact is, most of the apps on my phone I heard about on this show. It's true.
Well, same here. Just, you know, it's just one of those things. Well, and the cream always rises to the top. More than likely, the best apps that everyone says they like, we've brought in at least once, except for, I don't know, Pokemon Go, maybe? I don't know, something like that. I'm going to give a timely what I have to install on my phone, because there's too many to really name. Of course, I have to say Voxer. That is one of my favorite communication mechanics I've ever seen. Zedge, I always have to have, just on a, especially on a fresh phone, because that's how I get my ringtones. That's how I get my notification sounds. It just works too good. I am liking playing with Wire. That is the Skype-like application that is basically HTML5 using WebRTC. In the mobile device, you literally get the exact same interface you get on the desktop, and it works surprisingly well. I will say, Google Hangout Voice Dialer, okay? When I use Google Hangouts as a phone mechanic on anything but Wi-Fi, it is ridiculous. The lag, the delay is horrible. I can't hold a conversation with anybody. When I'm home on Wi-Fi, it sounds great, but anywhere else, it sounds horrible. Wire, on the other hand, I do video calls, and there's almost no delay. It is near perfect, so I don't know how they're doing that. So I'm having fun at least playing with that one. TouchPal keyboard, I got to have my clipboard. I start to scratch myself all over and itch. I just can't stop it.
I'm a swipe guy. Clipboard. That's my keyboard of choice.
Right. Another one I'm going to throw out there that I have to have Google Opinion them words. Or else, yeah, I get twitchy. I have to have My Pocket. That's how I bookmark all my apps. That's how I bookmark all my links for all my shows. And with that, I have If This Then That. Those two in conjunction populate spreadsheets for me to go through every week so I have all my apps. They are my lifeblood for helping me with content curation and organization. I'm going to throw one more out there. I honestly like having this new app, which is going to be my next app, Fast by Netflix. This is the kind of app, Mark, I clicked install, and I thought something must have went wrong because it installed way too fast. This thing literally must be like
20K. It's probably just a link to their webpage. It's probably what it really is.
Well, right. All it is a embedded webpage, HTML5 style, but it's very simple, just like the webpage. You just click the app. It loads up instantaneously, probably even on older devices, measures your network download speed, and then just reports on it. I will say at least one person said it worked on their Wi-Fi, but it didn't work when they were on their mobile network. I believe that was Chuck Rhino said that. And I don't know, hopefully they fix it, because I really do like being able to just do a really quick down and dirty, and dare I say a trustworthy speed test for at least download speeds.
Yeah, I just realized one that I use so often I didn't even think about it. It's just sort of infrastructure for me. And there's a little backstory to this. Before I was an Android guy, I was a BlackBerry guy. And BlackBerry was a very mature mobile operating system. And I think in many ways, Android still has not caught up to where BlackBerry was before they fell from grace. And one of the cool things that I liked about BlackBerry was their audio profile features. I could have a loud set profile, and I could have a quiet profile, and I could have a mute profile, and I could have a normal profile. I could have a meeting profile. And it didn't just set volumes, but it changed ringtones and notification tones. And it did all of that based on those profiles. So it was one of the first things I wanted to do when I moved to Android, and I found that it just didn't exist. And Android is only just now, you know, 6 years later, starting to get some of those things. You can set times where you want to mute and things like that, but you still don't have the full function of the profiles like you used to have in BlackBerry. So I went looking for apps for that, and I've found a number of them over the years, but the one that I stick with is simply called Quick Profiles, and I'm looking for the developer really quickly. Settings about soft experience. That's the one. Maybe? Yes. And it takes a little tweaking, but like on my phone right now, I have four profiles. I have loud, I have normal, I have quiet, and I have mute. And mute is the obvious. It turns everything off. Loud, if I'm in a loud environment or at a concert or something like that, it makes everything really loud and uses really annoying ringtones and stuff. The quiet one I use at work where, I still need to be notified. I don't want it muted, but I want it to be subtle. And so I don't want to use really, my hard rock ringtone if I'm in a doctor's office being all professional with my tie and stuff. So I have a much more muted ringtone when in the quiet one. It's a super simple thing that is my go-to. It's one of the first things I have to put on every phone I get. So first thing in the morning, I get up, I tap the normal button. And then, when I get to work, when I'm in a meeting or whatever, I switch to the quiet one. Before I go to bed at night, I click the mute one. So it's a simple thing, but once you kind of get used to living that way, you won't ever want to be without it. So, and I don't know that you guys have ever talked about one of these.
Well, no, I believe that you did bring this app before, but I didn't pick up on the fact that, to me, you literally blew my mind, Mark. Different volume levels then would automagically change what the notification audio file was or the ringtone file was. To me, that's genius because hypothetically, I'm at home and hypothetically, the ringtone I want might be offensive in a place of work. And so I can literally say, I want my work ringtone to be more polite, more proper, more professional, more business-like. I have never heard of an app that can do that. And honestly, I didn't even think of it. For BlackBerry to have thought of this X number of years ago, I got to tip my hat to them. But unfortunately, they're nowhere to be seen because they're just about dead.
And all I use it for is audio, but it does other things. It can turn off your Wi-Fi. It can turn off Bluetooth. It can set the screen brightness. So you can have a night mode where the modes are softer and the screen is dimmer. And you can do all those sort of things. You can change your wallpaper. So if you have a not safe for work wallpaper, you can have the work profile that changes it to, flowers and doilies. And then when you change it to your regular profile, it's that, stripped naked chick you like so much. And there's an Android, this is new, I'm just now seeing this, an Android Wear component where you can change profiles right from your watch. So it's a go-to everyday sort of thing for me. I don't know that it'll be useful for everybody, but it certainly is for me.
Right, and there's one more thing that I forgot, Mark, sorry. The Zenfone OS also has built into it, I don't have to go to another app to do it, they call it Blue Light Filter. Super quick science, people. The human brain has evolved to when it's more blue light, our brains translate that to being more morning time, more midday time. When we have more red light, our brain then tells us it's later or it's nighttime or it's getting nighttime. Thus, starts the production of melatonin, I believe, to make you more sleepy. A lot of, we brought before Twilight and Flux and different apps to where it can automatically make your screen go in the morning from blue, more blue, to at nighttime, more red in a slow, gradual way. You might not even notice it. This has it built into the OS. So to me, those Zenfone guys are trying to think like almost the old CyanogenMod people used to, what are the features we would like to see or we can see Android having in the next 2 or 3 years? So I personally kind of like having that feature. I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to leave it on for a week and see, you know, if I think it helps at all. But of course, it could be a placebo thing.
Yeah, personally, I think that whole we've evolved to respond to blue light is bogus. I just don't buy it. But okay.
I just think that humans are slow to, human instinct stuff is slow to change. So I don't know. And I know my instinct is to be in a bar. And I've had many generations of my people in bars.
That's it for emails. I hope, Trevor, I think that was your name. I've already deleted email. I hope that we answered your question with some go-to apps. So we need you to go to send us an email to aaa@podnuts.com and ask your questions, submit your apps. One third of my role here is to read email. And if I don't have email, you've taken that away from me. So come on, people, don't make me totally useless. Door, next app, please, my friend.
Oh, okay. I'm going to bring this one here. I will say, supposedly, this is a app, that has been, this app or this functionality or something has been available on iOS for, quote-unquote, years and years. I don't know, nor do I really care what was available on iOS for years. But we've had very few apps that can allow you to take a long page worth of stuff. Like back in the day, we used to be able to print a web page and then print it to PDF. So it was like multiple screenshots being stitched together because it was the whole content. Stitch It is the name of the app. Stitch It Screenshot Editor. This can help you stitch together the bottom of one screenshot to the top of top of a different screenshot and make it one continuous image. If you've ever been on Imgur or Reddit, or I'm sure Instagram as well, you see like long, funny conversations in SMS. And here's one way you can stitch together all those different pictures into one long, continuous picture. I love the idea of this. I'm going to leave it installed at least for a couple weeks and see if I ever use it, because I take a lot of screenshots and I send to people, but typically it's just what's on the screen. I don't know if I ever need to have more. I guess I'll find out.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that when you need it, you'll go, oh yeah, I needed that. But I don't do a lot of screenshotting.
Right.
All right. I'm trying to vamp because Dor has a lot of work to do in between while he's pasting links and things like that. So one of my roles here is to add color and make comments in between apps so that he has time to do that. And sometimes, though, all I have to say is, yeah, that's okay. All right. Next app.
Yeah, that definitely works. What I'm going to bring next is another movie entertainment app, and it's the kind of app I showed to my wife, and she at least installed and played with it for a while. I'm really not sure if she's going to keep it around. This is more of a like companion to IMDb, and if you've ever used IMDb, you know it has a lot of good information in it, but you also know it sucks. It like very rarely properly scales images to be the right size. So most of the time when you try to look at people's faces, it's too small to read. It's packed with ads. It's not a very fun app to use. This app is called Cinematics, the movie guide by K Kings. Does have in-app purchases, completely free to download. 306 reviews, 4.3 average rating. Between 10,000 and 50,000 installs. The in-app purchase, I believe, is $1.50. And it basically removes all the ads. But also, when you look up content, gives you direct links and ratings for IMDb, for Rotten Tomatoes, and for, I can't remember what this icon is. It's the movie bucket, red and white movie bucket icon.
That's Metacritic, isn't it?
I don't know. Ah, gotcha. Good call. So I gave it to my wife. She used it at least a couple times. It's going to be hard to replace that knee-jerk reaction of just Google searching and clicking the IMDb link, which I think she typically does. But at least now she has an option of how to look stuff up. I'll just say this is when I installed it and played with it, it presents itself very well. It's a very fluid, moving app, and it just looks good.
So this reminds me of a story. When I was in college, I took a class. We had to take what are called capstone classes, which are advanced level classes that are outside your major. It was a way of milking more money out of their students under the guise of making us seem like we were being more well-rounded. So if you were science, you had to take something in humanities. If you were humanities, you had to take something in science. So one of the capstone classes I took was literary criticism of film and art. One of the required textbooks of that class was Leonard Maltin's Movie Guide, 1997 or 8 or whatever it was. It was essentially IMDb on paper, and it was a paperback that was about 5.5 inches thick, and it had just, you know, what you would see in IMDb today. It would have had a brief recap of the movie, of course, because Leonard Maltin's a critic. It would have his critique of it, but it also the actors and the filmography and all that sort of stuff. And it just occurred to me as you were talking about that, I wonder if that is still a thing. And it is. You can go to Amazon right now and get Leonard Maltin's Movie Guide 2015. I don't really know why you would need that in the age of IMDb and the Cinematics app and all that sort of stuff. But if you're a paper guy, it's still out there on paperback for $16.85. Just thought I'd mention that.
Well, it might be one of those things. You value his personal opinion and his style of insight. It's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah. But I still have that. In fact, when we were unpacking recently, I found it. It's on the bookshelf right now. All the information you could want about movies up until the mid-90s. So no, none of the Transformer movies are in there. And we're lacking because of that. It's an incomplete work of art without the Transformer movies in it.
I'm not really sure who you are anymore, but maybe if you said Kung Fury's not in it, then it's not too real work.
All right, what's your next app, Dor? Did I vamp long enough to let you do all your work?
Oh, plenty, sir, plenty. This is, to me, one of those pretty puzzle apps. That's my excuse for bringing it. It is called, what's it called?
Linea.
Not Linda.
Linea, like linear, but Linea? Without the R. Linea.
Ah, Linea, okay. A simple, quote-unquote, puzzle game. I classify this almost as an action puzzle game. At the top of the screen, you're presented with patterns of colors, and then it's your job to dissect the pattern in the middle of the screen to make that pattern of colors. So it's not hard, it's not complex, but the things are moving around on the screen, and to be honest, I'll say very visually appealing at the same time. You can basically admire the puzzle for just what it looks like, and then you can take your time to figure out how to correctly solve the puzzle.
Oh, that looks like one of those that is diabolical in its simplicity.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. The first two or whatever puzzles, you're like, man, a kid can do this. Not long. It honestly might have been 10 puzzles or about, to where it started to become a little bit more, okay, you got to really take your time and be very precise with your line cutting ability. I will say it is a $1.99 app. Again, it's a Linea Black Robot Games. Only 19 reviews, 4.8 average reviews, 500 installs. Current version 1.0, updated July 18th. So my logic is this is a very new game. Looks literally like it only has 3 written reviews.
And one of them can be frustrating at times, but really enjoyable. If you like being frustrated by your entertainment, this is for you.
And I would say this, it is frustrating, but I think frustrating is too hard of a word. It's a little difficult. It's a little exact. It's a little precise. It's a little bit picky. Sometimes you think, well, I did swipe through it. The game cheated, just like back in the day when you're playing super of the Mario Brothers, you would say, I did hit jump. You know, same kind of frustration. But to me, it really wasn't frustrating. It required a certain amount of exactness. Not like Flappy Bird. That's just annoying.
Yeah, Flappy Bird's just impossible.
You say that, I say it's just...
I love it when I hear some, usually a kid, but sometimes it's a 45-year-old kid, saying, the computer's cheating, or the game cheated me, I did it. Why would the game cheat you? Really? Why?
Yeah, and that's another one of those scientific theories. I remember I tried to say this to Steve C, and he told me I was an idiot making stuff up. Technically speaking, what we see is not real time. Technically, everything we see is actually slight True. Bit behind, because it takes time for the light to get from wherever it's at to our eyeballs, and then it takes a certain amount of time for our eyeballs to process it and push it through up to the brain. So we're not in real time. We're just a touch behind, but we're always a touch behind, so it feels like real time. So technically speaking, you got to hit that button just a fraction of a second earlier, just a millionth of a second earlier than you think you have to. And game programmers, literally, that's one of the advantages to the old console systems. They used to take the length of cable into consideration to how far back you're probably sitting and tried to time that button to be what they saw on the screen to see with their eyes. Because if it was improperly done, no matter what game you were playing, you'd always feel like you always hit the button too late or something like that. That's one of those old Atari documents.
Yeah, and that's one of the game design things that they build in fudge factors. And as the levels go up, the fudge factor goes from 5% to 2% to 1%. Because, yeah, you can't be precise enough.
Right. I'm going to bring one more. And again, I don't want to say this is a game. To call this a game is almost an insult to games. This is a interactive environment. Almost like a, what do they call the Rube Goldberg machine-esque activity areas is what I'm going to call it. And that's really a mouthful. It's called Per Chang. You have a very sometimes complex environment with balls coming from different angles, different areas, through different mechanisms, through different machines. You control red or and blue devices on the screen, and your goal is to basically control these devices in such a way to help facilitate these balls making it to the end goal. And there's no way anybody has any idea what the hell this is with me explaining.
So it's not where you're building the puzzle like some of the games are, like World of Goo, for example, where you have to build the way to get the balls from one place to another. But you, in a pinball fashion, where all you have is a flipper, you control one segment of the puzzle, and you turn on a magnet or activate a fan or turn off the magnet or deactivate the fan to get the things to go. Am I saying that correctly?
That's definitely better. And there's a certain amount of non-changing track along the way. So your ball falls out of the top. You then have to control a seesaw lever to make sure it goes the right way. And that's one color. And then the ball goes down and it might go through a whirlwind all the way down through a thing. And then there's a fan with a different color that you have to turn on at the right time. Not too powerful, not, you know, too soft, to get it to land correctly in this other funnel to go down and be counted as a goal. And you want to talk frustrating. This is much closer to being frustrating than that other one. And this is called Per Chang by Per Chang. 588 reviews, E for everyone. Completely free to download. Does have in-app purchases. 3.6 average reviews. Updated August the 10th. 10,000 and 50,000 installs. Current version 1.34. So they're updating all the time. I believe, again, this is $1.50 to remove all the, to actually buy the app. But I don't want to, I want to say this didn't have ads in it.
Well, I'll let you know, because I've just installed it, because this looks really cool. Later on, from the pictures and the video, you get things coming from left going right and things from right going left. And something you might do to help a leftward ball will hurt a rightward ball, and you've got to time it just right. This looks like a kind of game I could lose a lot of time in.
Well, and to be honest, me too. And this is the kind of game, to be honest, I can see being much more enjoyable using your phone as the controller, but watching it on the TV. Maybe this Slimport Nano console might be in my future. I don't know.
And I'm guessing the name is an onomatopoeic thing. Perchang! That's the sound the metal ball makes as it goes in.
I'll go for that, because everything I ever do, I immediately turn off the volume and listen to my podcast.
All right, let's bring, say, two more, if you got them. I'm sure you do. You've got dozens more.
Yeah, sure. Okay. This one is it's a little bit of a different game in its beauty, but unfortunately it's one of the normal now games mechanics that I really can't stand, where the levels are short, the stages are very short, one, two, or three stars is the goal. But this is almost like that dark game I brought last week. This one is called Just Bones. You basically start the level. Virtually every level you start, you're just a head. And you're bouncing around the level, manipulating objects, digging through earth, digging through walls. Your goal is to find your torso. Most of the time, when you get up higher up, to find your torso, then find your arms. If you find your arms first, you can't do nothing with them. Got to first find your torso, then find your legs. And once you get your arms, then you can use the shovel. So the levels do get a little bit bigger, but you can still, if you know what you're doing, clear, in my experience, every single level in maybe 45 seconds, a minute and a half, maybe at the most. And it, unfortunately, it's one of the games where the video literally tells you absolutely nothing about the game and shows you absolutely no gameplay whatsoever. So there's, we all know what it means when there's a video with a game. We all know what it means when there's no video to the game. So the question is, what happens when the video to the game has nothing to do with the game?
I don't know. It's that's like dropping a cat with butter taped to its back.
Yeah. What I'm going to say is, you flip a coin, it lands on its edge. Doesn't land on heads or tails, it lands on its edge.
It's three levels deep. It's an Inception sort of thing.
Yeah. Again, this is called Just Bones by Elephant Games. 200 reviews, free to download, free to install. Does have some in-app purchases. 4.2 average reviews. Between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. Was just updated August 10th. Version 1.0.44. So it's definitely a newer game. It looks like there's multiple in-app purchases you can do. There's a hint system. I'm pretty sure if you want extra hints when you run out, I think that costs money. It was at least an interesting game.
All right. I don't have anything to comment on that one. It looks like the video is the backstory of how you became a skull. So, you know, that's kind of useful, but you get no sense of how to play the game at all. In fact, none of the pictures even show how to play the game. It's they just, you got to download it and try it.
Yeah. I don't want to be negative and say the video's pointless and the pictures are pointless, but they're mostly pointless. I had to go to YouTube, type in Just Bones Android, and then I found like a walkthrough or something, and that was the way I was able to see the game. And I thought, okay, yeah, okay, I'll definitely give it a shot.
All right, when you're finished coughing up a lung there, let's bring our 10th and final app of the night. Make it a good one.
Okay, this is a non-game app, so there you go, everyone. It's not just games. This, to me, is a very powerful, much beyond just your phone application. This is called Happy Fox Chat. This is a Android app plus a basically plugin you can do to your website. It had multiple plugins for multiple different systems, or you could just literally insert code into the bottom of your page. And what this enables you to do is it gives you the ability to put on your web page the ability to put a button on that says, I want to chat with the website. Somebody clicks that, your phone pings just like an SMS. You open it up, and now you have an interactive chat live from your device with someone visiting your web page. And it's $5. Okay. For that kind of functionality, if it runs rock solid, and if you can accept or deny chats individually, $5 ain't a lot to spend for that kind of thing, especially if it works good and it keeps working. I've not had time to play with this. I'm not putting it on podnuts.com. I'm going to probably put it on a different website just to see if I get anybody willing to play and test with me. I like the idea of this. It also gives you the ability to do canned answers. So hypothetically, you get, 10% of the people during any given day ask you the exact same question. You can basically give them a canned answer in return. I like the idea of this a lot.
It also says that you can use multiple agents. So you can have several employees of your company or several hosts of the podcast network using this app. And when somebody asks a question, you can transfer to other people, or you could have like maybe one person working the queue and handing those out to your sales team or your support team for $5. And I don't see anything about, an ongoing cost or anything like that. It's a pretty powerful tool for $5. I'm guessing $5 per user for every person whose phone you put it on. It's brand new, 10 to 50 installs. So Door's bringing you the latest and greatest every time.
Yeah, and I will say you can sign up for free for the service at happyfoxchat.com. So this might be a Plex kind of thing. You can get all the normal basic stuff. The app costs money, and then if you want to up your game, you can get the full paid service along with it. I'll say to this, I think that's a fair pricing mechanic because it gives you the ability to start almost for free, very low cost, and then see if this is the kind of app you want to use. I'm a fan of allowing for instant connectivity, especially when you're a service-driven website. If you can give answers so people don't leave your website, it has to be a good thing. From the screenshots I see on their website, it does look like what you can put on your web page is not intrusive, up in your face, hey, click here to chat, kind of, thing, just a bottom in the corner, a little tab, click here to chat kind of thing.
So that's cool. The same developer has something called Happy Fox, your mobile help desk. So you can have a full-on help desk ticketing system using Android devices among your team. So it looks like the chat was an offspring of that, which, again, looks pretty cool. And the mobile help desk thing is a free Android install, so you probably pay for the server. Impressive. Really impressive.
Very cool.
All right. That's it. That's 10 apps by the tabs on my screen. I think that's good enough. Any final words of wisdom or comments, Dor, before we say goodnight?
I seriously want to thank everyone for their support. I want to thank everyone who has joined Patreon. If you want to become a reoccurring donator to this show explicitly, go to Patreon, Patreon, and just search for Android App Addicts. We should be the only one. And you can help support this show in a very direct fashion. You do get some extra content, and I'll say if any Patreons have any ideas about some more extra content, don't hesitate. Let me know. I listen to my kids most of all because they're my kids. If I'm someplace and I hear another kid ask for something, I'm going to listen to him, but I'm not going to go out of my way to go crazy to make sure he's ridiculously happy, but I might help him out. The Patreon people get all of my attention up front. The ones who aren't in Patreon, I still listen to.
And coming soon, dramaticreviews.com. And I think I think that may be a Patreon only thing. That'll be fun.
I can't believe we haven't got a single email from anybody mentioning that. Because I'm sorry,
I did we got a comment on the Castback app. Somebody saying this must happen now. It's going to. I'm super excited about it. But if you want to see other stuff about me, you can go to elementopi.com. Check out my show Geek Rant over there. If you like geeks and you like rants, you might like Geek Rant. Just a recap of the apps tonight. Inkwire, Screen Share and Assist by Clockwork Mod. Helmut, Film Scanner by CodeUnited.dk. Just Watch Movies and TV Shows by Just Watch. Quick Profiles by Soft Experience Tools. Stitch It by Lucky Bunny LLC. Cinematics, The Movie Guide by K-Kings Entertainment. Linea by Black Robot Games. Perchang by Perchang, Just Bones by Elephant Games LLC, and Happy Fox Chat by Happy Fox. So check them out. Let us know what you think. You can always send us an email to aaa@podnuts.com. You can send Dor an email. What's your email, Dor?
Door-to-door geek at gmail.com or mail at podnuts.com, whatever is easier.
I'm not kidding. When you can ask him, and when I say you can ask him anything, and he'll answer you. It may not be the right answer, but he'll give you an answer.
I'll do my best.
I appreciate you hanging out with us. We'll hopefully have Eric back with us next week, so it will be the trifecta once again. But until then, I'm going to say that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.